भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text Number 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Bhuja Guptayam Dwaravatyam Kuru Udvaha Avatsid Naradaha अभीक्ष्णम् कृष्ण उपासना लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारवत्यां कुरुद्वः अवात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारभत्यां कुरुद्वः अवात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारभत्यां कुरुद्वः अवात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारभत्यां कुरुद्वः अवात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारवत्यां कुरुद्वः अवात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारवत्यां कुरुद्वः वात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारवत्यां कुरुद्वः वात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच गोविंद भुजगुप्तायां द्वारवत्यां कुरुद्वः अवात्सीन्नारदो भीक्ष्णम् कृष्णोपासन लालसः। श्रीशुक उवाच श्रीशुक सेड गोविंद ऑफ लॉर्ड गोविंद भुज बाय द आर्म्स गुप्तायाम प्रोटेक्टेड द्वारवत्याम इन द कैपिटल द्वारवती कुरुद्वह ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द कुरुस अवात्सीत ട്വൽഡ് നാരദ നാരദ മുനി അഭീക്ഷണം കോൺസ്റ്റന്റ്ലി കൃഷ്ണോപാസന ടു എൻഗേജ് ഇൻ ദ വർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ലാലസ ഹു ഹാഡ് ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഈഗർനെസ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ശ്രീ ശുഖദേവ് ഗോസ്വാമി സെഡ് eager to engage in the worship of Lord Krishna, O best of the Kurus, Narad Muni stayed for some time in Dwaraka, which was always protected by the arms of Govinda. Purport. In the second chapter of this canto, Bhagavad Dharma or pure devotional service to Krishna is explained by Narad Muni to Vasudev, who had inquired with devotion. Narad Muni cites a conversation between King Nimi and the Jayanteyas. According to Jiva Goswami, the word Abhikshtam indicates that although Narad Muni was frequently sent by Lord Krishna here and there for various pastimes, such as inquiring about the affairs of the world, Narada continuously returned to reside in Dwaraka. The word Krishnopasana Lalasaha indicates that Narada was very eager to be near Krishna and worship him. Because of the curse of Daksha, Narada is never allowed to live continuously in one place. Sridhara Swami, however, has pointed out, Natasyam Shapadhe Prabhavaha. In Dwaraka, there is no influence of curses or other such evils because Dwaraka is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is always protected by his arms, as shown by the word Govinda Bhujaguptayam. The conditioned souls are struggling within the kingdom of Maya against the cruel laws of material nature, such as birth, death, old age and disease. But if such conditioned souls have the good fortune to enter the city of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether Dwaraka, Mathura or Vrindavan, and live there under the direct protection of the omnipotent arms of the Supreme Lord Krishna, they will experience the unlimited transcendental bliss of real life, which is eternal and which is meant to be lived in the personal company of God. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale സ്വയം രൂപ കഥാ മഹ്യം ദദാതീതസ്പന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതാം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണപാദാന് സഹഗണലലിത ശ്രീവിശാഖാംവിതാംശ ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനോ സുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ഛാകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാർ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗർഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ശ്രീ ശുഖദേവ് ഗോസ്വാമി സെഡ് ഈഗർ ടു എൻഗേജ് ഇൻ ദ വർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് ലോർഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഒ ബെസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ കുറൂസ് Narad Muni stayed for some time in Dwaraka, which was always protected by the arms of Govinda. Hare Krishna. So as pointed out in this translation and in the purport, Krishnopasana Lalasaha. Narad Muni had cultivated a very strong desire to be with Krishna, and somehow or the other, despite the curse that had been spelled upon him or bestowed upon him by Daksha, he always managed to spend significant time in Dwaraka. And the other perspective provided here in the purport is also that the Lord's abode, Dham, is actually free from curses or cruel laws of material nature. And this has also been pointed out by Sridhar Swami. We find that the entire Bhagavatam is filled with examples of curses. In fact, the entire narration, Sri Shuka Uvacha, is also thanks to a curse upon Parikshit Maharaj. And throughout the scriptures, we find that different personalities have reacted to curses in different ways. We have the example of Narad Muni, who very gracefully accepted the curse of Daksha. He had inspired in the hearts of the Haryashvas, the 10,000 sons of Daksha, the desire to ultimately perfect their lives individually and collectively by tapodevyam, by performing divine austerities, by completely absorbing their consciousness in the Supreme Lord. And as a result, the purpose for which Daksha had procreated those 10,000 sons, Haryashvas, was not achieved because they developed detachment. In fact, Narad Muni himself, he himself narrates the story of his curses. The 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's this Narad Muni explaining how he was cursed. Narad Muni was actually born from the thighs of Lord Brahma, and Brahmaji had wanted Narad Muni to procreate, but inspired by Sanakadi Rishis and also Marichi, Narad Muni had developed a strong desire to focus on his ultimate eternal relationship with the Lord. And as a result, Brahmaji wasn't happy. He cursed him that you would actually be born as Gandharva, Upabharhana. He was born as a son of another Gandharva, Chitraketu. As Chitraketu was performing some penances, he was blessed to have Upabharhana. And Upabharhana, Narad Muni himself, since childhood, was very nicely trained in Vishnu Bhakti by none other than Brihaspati. So one might wonder what was the curse then. But then it's explained that as he was performing his penances on the slopes of the Himalayas, the 50 daughters of another Gandharva, they happened to be there, and then they tried to entice Upabharhana. Narad Muni himself explains that how he got attracted to them, they got married. But even after that, Narad Muni was fixed in his Vishnu Bhakti. In fact, it's explained that Narad Muni was blessed as one of the most beautiful musicians, always singing the names of the Lord. So even as a Gandharva, he would sing the names of the Lord. And the Vedangas, the 6 Vedangas, Shiksha, and then Chanda, Jyotish, Kalpa, all of this he was actually very expert at. Somehow or the other, Narad Muni explains that he was invited to a Sankirtan performance. And Prabhupada explains that Sankirtan performance used to take place even in Gandharva Loka. And there he, somehow or the other, again he went with his wives, and even in the Sankirtan, somehow he got attracted to Ramba. That's also explained elsewhere. And as a result, again he was cursed. And that's how Narad Muni explains his past life. So when one sees, well, there are lots of examples of curses. Daksha, in fact, continuing the story of Daksha, Daksha again had thousand sons, Shavalavas, who again were inspired by Narad Muni to focus on the ultimate goal of life. So Daksha cursed Narad Muni that you will be actually bereft of all opulences, you will not have one single place to stay. And that particular curse is mentioned in this purport as well. So how did these different personalities receive curses? What is the effect of these curses? One can of course be passively dismissive about curses and say, there's no, I don't care for this curse. One could be aggressively reactive. One can counter curse, and there are lots of examples again in the scriptures. Or one can be very assertively receptive. He can be assertive. At the same time, he can be graceful. Narad Muni, when he inspired the sons of Daksha to perform Tapo Divyam, he didn't have any ulterior motive. So therefore, when he was cursed by Daksha, he remained assertive. He wasn't apologetic. But at the same time, he did acknowledge the curse. I mean, that's acknowledged in many places. Parikshit Maharaj acknowledges the curse. In fact, even acknowledges the pain that he experienced for having put that serpent around the neck of a sage, a dead serpent. So at times, one does realize that one's activities have caused hurt to others. And one can feel remorseful. But here we find that even in the midst of such remorse or some pain, Narad Muni remained assertive. How is that strength for assertion? So, Narad Muni, he is constantly chanting the names of the Lord. Dhume nav riyate vanhir yata darsho male nacha yatholbe navrto garbas tata tene damavritam. The extent to which one's consciousness is covered, to that extent one gets confused or bewildered when one is faced with challenging situations. And here the example of curses. How can one gracefully receive a curse yet be unaffected? How can one receive a curse and not be arrogant? The classic examples in our scriptures. How can one receive a curse and not be dismissive, but convert that curse into a blessing? Narad Muni. The extent to which our consciousness actually gets purified through samskaras right from the childhood, through the process of sadhana and sadachar, to that extent, we will have the strength to deal with these challenging situations. As we see in the case of Narad Muni. Narad Muni bajai vina Radhika Ramana name. Always chanting the names of the Lord. So dhumena vriyate vadhir. It's explained that when the level, when the covering of the consciousness is very light, it's like the covering of smoke on fire. Or yata darsho malena cha. It can be dust settling on a mirror. But the covering can be even more thick, like that of the embryo, the womb. Very difficult to penetrate. So kama rupena kaunteya. Discovering can be easily removed according to one's level of progress. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. He of course gave the analogy of dust covering a mirror. And he said, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. By being absorbed in the process of Sankirtan, one can actually uncover the dust. Narad Muni in the same canto, the fifth chapter, as he continues his discussion with Vasudev, he comes to a point where he starts describing the Lord's different avatars, how the Lord descends in different yugas. And therein he talks about the avatar in the Satya, Treta and Dwapar Yuga. And then he explains, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. That in this age of Kali, The Supreme Lord advents Krishna Varnam. He is actually non-different from Krishna. Varna is often also used to refer to the same kind, Krishna Varnam. He is actually Krishna, non-different from Krishna. Trisha Krishnam, Sangop, he will actually come with his associates. He will have a blackish complexion. He will have a golden complexion. He will not be a Krishna. He will not have a blackish blue complexion. Sangopangasta Parshadam, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. He will inundate the world with the chanting of the holy names. Sankirtan Yagya. And one of the following verses, he describes in a nutshell, not only the glorious advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also refers to the advent of Lord Krishna and Rama. Tyaktva sudushchira surepsita rajya lakshmi dharmishta arya vachasa yadagadaranyam maya mrigam daitam ipsitam anvadhavat vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. There he refers to that in a nutshell he refers to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's how several acharyas help us understand that verse. He gave up the association tyaktva sudushchira surepsita rajya lakshmi. Very difficult to attain association of Lakshmi Devi herself. Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yadagar Aranyam. One Brahmana happened to curse him. And receiving that curse, Arya Vachasa Yadagar Aranyam, he actually went out into this forest of bewildered consciousness, and bestowed upon everyone the chanting of the holy names. Maya Mrigam Daitam Ipsitam Anvadhavat Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. And a reference is made therein in the purport to an episode in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would perform Sankirtan at the house of Srivas Thakur. Day and night he would perform Sankirtan, and because it was a very confidential group, not everyone was allowed. Now it's explained that in that same village there was a Brahmana. This Brahmana wasn't very happy that he was not allowed into this confidential pastime of Sankirtan. So it's explained therein that the Brahmana became very annoyed for not being allowed into this pastime. And he spelled a curse upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It said, Shapi bato maramuni, panachi mano dukha, paita chindiya shape, prachanda durmukha. This Brahmana was also expert in talking harshly, and he generally liked to curse others. So it was well known about this Brahmana that he would curse people. So he broke his sacred thread as a mark of his power, because the tapasya of a Brahmana is to have power, and we find that in Sringi, the son of Shamigrishi. He was also very proud that I have so much power by my Brahmical prowess. Who is this dog in the form of Parikshit to offend my father? So this Brahmana was also very proud, and he said, your behavior, Nimai, has greatly aggrieved me. Samsara sukha tomar hauka vinash shapashuni prabhura chitte hoila ullas. So samsara sukha tomar hauka vinash. You'll be deprived of all happiness in this world. Vinash. And shapashuni, hearing this curse, prabhura chitte hoila ullas. However, what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? He was actually happy after hearing this curse. Now you won't find that all the time. There are, as I said, the instance of Parikshit Maharaj, he was aggrieved when he was cursed. Aggrieved not for the curse itself, but the cause of the curse. But here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found that this person was simply filled with venom, yet he acknowledged the curse. It's explained that anyone who hears of this Brahmana's cursing Lord Chaitanya is delivered from all Brahminical curses. Prabhura shapa vartayai shune shraddhavan brahma shapa hoite tar haya paritran. So this Shapa is in fact glorified because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose, divine purpose, and at the same time his divine example. How he received this curse of not of the being deprived of all opulences and having to actually accept the role of a mendicant, of a sannyasi, and in that vesha being able to spread the holy names far and wide, something that he couldn't have probably done in his role as a grihastha. So we see so many examples of gracefully acknowledging a curse in an assertive manner, being firm, vyavasayatmika buddhi ekah kurunandana, being firm in the purpose of purifying one's own consciousness and helping others purify their consciousness. We also, of course, find examples where these curses were also because of genuine displeasure and evil intentions. And we see this is the case of Madhai. Madhai, he offended Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu saw that Madhai, after being blessed by Lord Chaitanya and forgiven by Lord Nityananda, both Jagai and Madhai, they were actually chanting the names of the Lord constantly on the banks of the Ganga. They were actually very pleased to see Madhai and Jagai chanting. However, Madhai, he expressed to Lord Chaitanya, to Nityananda Prabhu, that I know I have offended you and you have been very kind upon me to forgive me, but what about the countless other people whom I have offended? I have broken their hearts. He acknowledged that. That is also a sign of purification. I have actually offended so many others. What do I do? And Nityananda Prabhu, he said, why don't you construct a beautiful ghat on the banks of the river Ganga? People come here to bathe, but if you construct a ghat here, the general mass, including devotees and who are not necessarily devotees, they all would come and benefit from this ghat, and they would bless you in that process. Now, this is another classic example. There was evil intention, but at the same time, when realization dawned upon Madhai, he under appropriate guidance, it wasn't exactly counteract, but he tried to atone in a very, very constructive manner by pleasing, by genuinely pleasing. So we see that it all begins with the desire. Because if the desire isn't there, even if the desire isn't there to attract upon oneself blessings and also to avoid needlessly hurting others, the Lord always reveals ways and means. There are no dearth of opportunities. They are always manifest, and sometimes they manifest in such amazing manners. I mean, given the story of Madhai, I just remember this last weekend I was in a place in Madhya Pradesh, a district called Jhabua, and a place where in many tribal areas everyone starts becoming selfish. They see the selfish nature of city dwellers, the villagers also become selfish. And they realize that over time, so many problems of exploiting each other. But several years back, more than 20 years back, a very nice gentleman, he happened to go there. And he found that these villagers actually had a custom. They had a festival called Halma. They used to have this festival earlier. The idea was to go and help each other. Just go and assist each other in their individual, for example, farming, or could be constructing a house. And the whole idea was simply by rendering this assistance, attract blessings. In fact, there was no contract that I have come to your house, now you come to my house. But what happened is, in due course of time, people started misusing this festival of Halma to get their house repaired by others. Right? So, Halma hai, aap aa jaiye ghar pe. घर पे गेस्ट आने वाले हैं तो थोड़ा भोजन बनाने में मदद कीजिए. सो ग्रेजुअली पीपल दे लॉस्ट रिस्पेक्ट फॉर द वे हलमा वॉज बींग परफॉर्म. बट दिस जेंटलमैन मोर देन 20 ईयर्स बैक व्हेन ही वेंट देयर, ही सेड लेट ही फाउंड अ वेरी ब्यूटिफुल अपॉर्चुनिटी. ही सॉ दिस हलमा एज एन अपॉर्चुनिटी एंड ही एक्चुअली टोल्ड मी दैट प्रेटी मच एवरी नुक एंड कॉर्नर ऑफ इंडिया यू विल भारतवर्ष यू विल फाइंड दिस फेस्टिवल इन अंडर सम नेम ऑर द अदर. So he revived it. And he said, he tried to explain through his own example that the process of halma, or the process of actually helping each other, is not just each other, but it's also Mother Nature. Especially Gai, Ganga and Gomata. This is Mother Cow, Mother Earth and Water, Mother Ganga. And he brought to their attention that how these resources had been completely depleted. So he began this festival again, and now it has assumed such huge proportions. This festival, there were more than 10 to 15,000 villagers who had come together. And every year they come, and in a massive way they go to some place and they spend money from their own pockets. They come to a place, help construct trenches to help water percolate, have pits where they put plants, and the whole entire foundation of what they do is chanting. They chant the holy names. They also invoke the presence of Lord Shiva to hold Mother Ganga in his jata. The whole festival has got such a spiritual mood. And now, since 20 years, the entire water problem in that area, and not just that area, the entire district, just parched the water. It was a sight to behold. An entire process, entire yatra, just chanting the names. So, interestingly, there was a student from IIT, and there was a group we had taken, and of course, some students are secular. So, they asked this person, "All this is fine, but why do you have to chant the names? Why do you have to bring the Lord?" He said, "I don't know any other way by which this spirit of dedication can be invoked in the minds of hearts of people. Do you know something better?" There, of course, the student didn't have an answer. So we find this example of Nityanand Prabhu invoked such compassion and such remorseness also simultaneously, that there was natural tendency to serve others. So that is the glory of the chanting of the holy names. And especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you find that even preceding his enunciation of the chanting of the holy names, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went through some transformations, and they are very beautifully explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Very briefly summarized here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with the students, went to Gaya for the Shraddha ceremony of his father, there he had darshan of Lord Madhusudana, and then he also started manifesting pastimes where he started appreciating the purity of Brahmanas. He was afflicted with a disease which he said only a high fever, which only the water that has washed the lotus feet of a pure Brahmana can cure him. Thereafter, he went into ecstatic fits when he heard about the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. He met Srila Ishwarapuri. And Srila Ishwarapuri Pad, he was so happy to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he felt that the beloved Lord of his life had manifested in front of his eyes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then served Ishwarapuri at his house, nice rice cooked. Such beautiful exchange of love. On his way back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Kanai Natshala, where he actually remembered the Supreme Lord. Even after he came back to Navadvip, the devotees started seeing the transformation in Lord Chaitanya. But what we find is that every time he met the devotees, he would seek their blessings. The devotees would be praying that, "Oh Lord, there is so much erudition, so much scholarship, but where is the transformation of the heart? And where is that personality who will actually spread the holy names to transform everyone's hearts?" And as they were praying, they were also blessing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nimai Pandit. With great gratitude was receiving these blessings. In fact, he was seeking those blessings very eagerly. Advaita Acharya, he was actually completely overwhelmed, because he saw a dream, and in that dream, he had not eaten. He was fasting because he was praying for the advent of the Lord, and in that dream, he saw this beautiful personality, the Brahmana, who came and assured him that, "Please stop your fasting. The person for whom you have been praying so far has already advented. This gave great hope to Advaita Acharya's heart. But we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his reciprocations with Advaita Acharya, was still seeking blessings to be able to fulfill his cherished desire, the cherished desire of Advaita Acharya. The Sankirtan movement started at the house of Srivas Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how, just like Lord Krishna was born in the prison cell of Vasudev, but he performed all his beautiful pastimes in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared at the house of Jagannath Mishra, but his Sankirtan choicest pastimes were at the house of Srivas Thakur. The residents were actually feeling extremely scared. Now, what does seeking blessings mean? Seeking blessings can often also mean standing up to challenges. As he started the Sankirtan movement at the house of Srivas Thakur, some of the envious people, they instigated or catalyzed the process of the Nawab sending people to imprison the devotees, to come and torture the devotees because they were chanting the holy names. Srivas Thakur was extremely scared because he knew the nature of the Muslim rulers then, that they would actually harass. In fact, it was announced already that two boats filled with these policemen, the Nawab's men, would actually come and harass the devotees at the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's then that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he announced to Srivas Thakur. He said, why should you be scared for the protection of the devotees? If they come, I will go and face them. Let the Nawab's men come. I will pose a challenge to them. I will tell them that you get all your qazis and make the enemy, you chant all you want from your scriptures, all the rituals, the verses from your scriptures. And I challenge them that you make the animals here dance and sing in ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so confident. He said, they will all fail. They will not be able to do it. He said, I will chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I will incite these animals, these creatures, to chant the holy names of Krishna, and they will chant and dance in ecstasy. What more proof do we need to counter these Nawab's men? And then, there and then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Sankirtan movement, there was a small girl, the niece of Srivas Thakur, Narayani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed her and said, Narayani, chant and dance in ecstasy. And the devotees there and there, in front of their eyes, they could see the transformation in the heart and physical transformation in Narayani, where she started chanting and dancing in ecstasy. So of course we see that with the ability to receive these curses is also the deep desire to seek blessings. Because if these curses are only accepted in a sense of grudge, then where will be the desire to receive blessings? And what does receiving blessings mean? Yes, it means being humble, but it also means being extremely assertive and strong. We see in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, we have the example of the first civil disobedience movement. So much opposition. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't just seeking protection from others. You seek blessings, but you have to give protection. It doesn't mean that you keep seeking blessings and keep asking for protection, ask for Z security, so that I can continue receiving blessings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the Sankirtan movement from the front to the house of the Qazi, who was creating so many disturbances in the minds, the hearts of the devotees. And Prabhupada says, that was an example of the first civil disobedience movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if the need be, I can
instill great fear in the hearts of all these people who are torturing you. So there is fearlessness. Abhaya Charanarvinda. Srila Prabhupada was also very graceful. Prabhupada said that it's possible that I have also been cursed by the parents of so many of these hippies whom I actually transformed. And it's because of their curse that I am not able to stay in one temple for long. Because so often Prabhupada would reflect how he could, if he could spend more time in specific temples, he could actually help manage things better and also spend a lot of time translating. But somehow or the other he had to travel, and Prabhupada acknowledged this as possibly a curse from the parents. But at the same time, Prabhupada took a very beautiful example from Indian railways. He said, the Indian railways, they say that the wheel should never stop. So let's take this curse that our wheels will never stop. And that's when he, in the context of the Indian railways, he referred to Brihat Mridanga. Let the transcendental literature, the chanting of the holy names keep spreading everywhere you go. So yes, a blessing can be a curse. Or a curse can be a blessing. And it actually depends on how eager we are to receive. One can feel extremely ungrateful, even when there are blessings, simply lamenting why I didn't get more. In fact, one can always find the grass to be greener on the other side and completely overlook whatever blessings he has got. On the other hand, if there is a strong desire to receive grace and reciprocate with that grace, even the harshest of curses, I mean, what can be a more difficult curse to digest than what Parikshit Maharaj received? But he had also received the blessings of Lord Krishna right in the womb of his mother, the protection from Brahmastra. And empowered with such blessings, he transformed the greatest of curses in history to blessing. In fact, the previous chapter is largely about curses again. The curse upon the Yadu dynasty. And sometimes these curses can have a plan which is actually very difficult to comprehend. What Narad Muni went through as Upabarhana, being cursed by his own father, Brahma, very difficult to comprehend. And it was not a curse that you could see its effect in 7 days and seven nights. I mean, it was a lifetime. But when one is strongly cultivating the desire to be connected to the Lord, Bhakti Lata Bij, how this Bija will sprout is actually in the Lord's hand. And at every possible opportunity, if one actually waters this seed, nourishes this seed by chanting of the holy names, one is most fortunate. And that we see in the example of Narad Muni. Yes, every opportunity he got, even he acknowledges from his previous life. The story that Narad Muni narrates to Yudhishthir Maharaj is actually in the context of his advising Yudhishthir Maharaj the duties of a grahastha. How a grahastha should make the focal point of his life sadhana, chanting the names of the Lord. And often many places Prabhupada actually translates those words, kriya, yoga, etc., as a process of devotional service. So it's in that context that Narad Muni cites his own example. That how, even through these transformations, one thing that did not change was a seed of bhakti, the blessing of the holy name. Because that has a potency to transform. And it's so simple. Prabhupada writes in the purport there when Narad Muni narrates a story. Prabhupada says, actually the Sankirtan movement is eternal. And here's the proof that it has begun all the way from the Gandharva Lokas. Some people may say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the Sankirtan movement on the bank of the Ganga. And Prabhupada says that. Some people accuse. But here we have examples for all of the scriptures. Starting with the Kali Santaran Upanishad itself, which encourages each and everyone to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. There's a question. Take that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.